Right.
Yeah.
So we're starting. Moses asked 12 men to go spy out the land that God had promised the children of Israel. And we are starting at the point where they come back from searching out the land. So Numbers 13, verse 25. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. All right, we're going to stop there. Lord Jesus, I come before you. We ask, oh God, that you, Lord, your spirit will move in this place. I pray that I will say exactly what you have me to say, that you bring to my memory whatever you have me to minister, that as, Lord Jesus, I'm the vessel of yours, that you, oh God, will fill me up, and that I, oh God, will say what you have me to say. And Lord Jesus, I pray that it will be a flow, Lord. Lord Jesus, that you will hear and that you will move on our hearts, Lord, even as we've already prayed, that you'll bring us to repentance, that you bring understanding, knowledge, and wisdom where we need it, and that ultimately, Lord, that we know more about you and that we draw closer to you through this. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, so this lesson, you can all be seated. This lesson is called Victor or Victim. So it's interesting that my dad had the young people come up. Supposed to tell about the origin of this lesson. So I want to say maybe 4 months ago, I was in drill team practice. For those who don't know, I was blessed to be able to be a coach on a drill team. So we're in drill team practice. One of our roles is to make sure that you have tennis shoes on. Reason being is so that you can actually hear the beat and so that you can keep the cadence. So when I know that Crocs and flip-flops and all those fun shoes are fun, however, they're not for drill team. It's not part of our equipment. So we're in drill team practice. I'm commanding or calling the drills. One of the girls doesn't have the proper shoes on. And she's also messing with her clothes, which is two things. It's not helpful. It's against how you're trained. So I tell this young girl, change your pants or fix your pants. Like, because she kept messing with them every 2 seconds. Because she was messing with them, she wasn't able to keep the cadence. She wasn't able to drill because she was so distracted with her clothes. So I hear this girl under her breath curse at me. So I heard her, and at first I, like, when that happened, my heart rate went up. I was super angry. I was upset. I paused. I walked over. I stood next to her. I said, "What did you say?" And she's like, "Oh, I didn't say anything." I was like, "Yes, you did. This is what you said." And she's like, and I mean, drill team's never quiet. Like, it's a whole bunch, it's like 25 to 30 girls. It's never quiet. It was like a pin could drop. It was like silent. And I said, "Next time, you better say it with your chest." And so she's just like shocked, and everybody else is just like, what are you doing? Like, you lost your mind, lady, you know. So all the other girls are just like, and I'm just like, fall out. So she comes out of the line. We continue practice. I'm so angry, I'm like shaking. I'm praying, calming down. After practice, "Coach Stephanie, can I talk to you?" I said, "Yes, you can." And she's like, and so she's trying to intercept me talking to her mom, essentially. So she's saying she's sorry, all this stuff. I was like, I accept your apology. I just need you to understand this will never ever happen again. Okay. So we go downstairs. She tries to circumvent talking to her mom. I bring up the whole thing, and she tried to sugarcoat what she said. So I was like, no, that's not what you said. And she's just like, God, you know, I'm not gonna get away with this. Like, so her mom was very angry, came around the car, was the whole situation. So I go home, and I'm praying. And I'm praying, and I'm praying. And then it's like God starts showing me a pattern. And by this time he starts showing me this pattern, I'm weeping. I'm weeping for this little girl. I'm weeping for this generation. I'm weeping, and I'm weeping, and I'm weeping, and I'm crying. And it wasn't just that day, it was the next morning. I'm just weeping, and I'm crying, and I'm weeping, and I'm crying. And it's like God just started showing me, like, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. And this is how, and it's like, even when we are corrected and we don't take that accountability and we try to hide it or blame it or do these different things, we start in a cycle of being a victim. We start in a cycle instead of being a victor. And it starts when we're young. It starts when we're children. It started from the garden. It started from Adam and Eve. It started a very, very long time ago. And so when we make a mistake, the temptation, like my dad was talking about even earlier, is to not accept the feedback. Instead of her saying, Miss Stephanie, you're right. I'm messing with my clothes. I've been here 2 years. I know I'm not supposed to be doing that. Let me go change pants. Instead of anything like that, she's denying it. And then she got angry because she was told the truth. And she got angry and she got tempted and she did the wrong thing. And so when that was brought forth, then she denied it. And then she got fearful, and then she started hiding and doing all these other things, and it was all just, it's just a pattern. It was just pride. It was her walking in her flesh, just like anybody else. And I'm not saying, oh, watch this. I'm just saying that this is a pattern or a way in which any of us can be. And so the reason why, there's two different sets of people that God wants me to talk about in this one passage in the Bible where it talks about the children of Israel and the, I'm going to call them the old school, and I'm going to call Joshua and Caleb the new school. So the old school, they were victims, and the new school, they were victors. So we're going to start in Numbers 13, verse number 30. So first of all, going back to verse number 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. So they said, yes, it's flowing with milk and honey. However, these are all the obstacles. They're talking about all the different nations. They talked about all the different land and how the cities were walled. So they brought the obstacles, and Caleb, this is what Caleb said. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. And so in verse number 31, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. So can you see the two different mentalities? One is saying, let's go up, we can overcome it. The others are saying, the people are stronger than us. So Caleb and Joshua, they heard the word, they believed the word, they were willing to obey and do the word, right? And so when you look at the word possess, in the Hebrew, it means to occupy or inherit. And the second word I wanted to look at too is overcome. So he was saying we're able to occupy and inherit the land, and we're able to overcome. So we're able to defeat, we're able to destroy, we're able to gain the victory. That's what overcome means. Now in verse number 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth of the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. That means that they were tall, big men for the kids. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we are in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So they're spies. How do they know how the people of the land feel about them? If you're a spy, are you going up and, what do you think about these people? You're a spy. Like, what conversations did they have? Like, what did they made up this imagination. If you're a spy, you're being stealth. You're sneaking around. You're spying things out. You're seeing what's going on. You're not necessarily exposing your cover because you're a spy. So how do you know what these people think about you? How do you know that? Like, where did that come from? So for these 40 days, yes, they're obeying God and going throughout the land, and at the same time, their imagination is going off. Their imagination is just going rampant. And so 10 of them came up with a story. They came up with a story of what's happening and what's going to happen and what they think about us and all this kind of stuff. So the 10, they heard the word. They lost faith in the word because of what they saw. So Jonathan sent me a message about faith, and he said, the biggest thing about faith is it's about hearing. It's nothing about what you can see. Nothing. Like, has nothing to do with what you see. It's only about what you hear. And I was thinking about this minister. She prayed over this young lady and prophesied and said that she was going to serve the Lord. This young lady got on drugs, and she was found dead in her apartment. She was dead for like 2 days. The woman's mom calls the woman who prophesied over her daughter and told her what happened. She was leaving preaching, and she goes to the hospital, and God's speaking to this woman who had already prophesied over this lady. I don't want you to say what you say, what you see. Don't even consider what you see. I'm doing it in the spirit. Don't say anything that they're saying. Don't even look. I'm doing it in the spirit. So she goes down the corridors. She goes to the room. She prays over this lady who'd been dead for 2 days, and she's brought back to life. Because she didn't consider what it looked like. God told her, don't say anything about, don't even speak, don't talk to anybody, don't say anything. Go in there and pray because I'm doing it in the spirit. It's not what you can see. I'm doing it in the spirit. So, unfortunately, it's the same thing with Peter. He was walking on water to Jesus until the scripture says that he saw the wind and the waves, and then he began to sink. It's when he saw. However, when he heard, Jesus said, bid me come to you, and he said, come. When he heard that, he had the faith, and he was walking. When he saw the wind and the waves, that's when he started to sink. So it's so important that it says, the scripture says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it's so important that we hear the word of God and that we hold on to that regardless of what we see. So what they saw led them to feeling inadequate. They felt like they didn't have what they needed. So all of us do that. I remember Markel's lesson was so powerful. When God is not your God. It's like when, in that message, I just kept hearing when she was talking, it's like when we look at ourselves instead of looking at God. You know, when we do that, that's automatically going to make us a victim. of our circumstances, right, because we're looking at ourselves and we're no longer looking at the Lord. And so the last example I want to share about this is in the New Testament with the parable of the sower. So if you go to Matthew 13, verse number 5, he's talking about the different soil. Matthew 13, verse number 5. It says, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no depthness of earth. Then going down to verse number 22 in the same chapter, he's explaining what that parable means. He also that received seed, so seed is the word of God, that's how it's described in the Bible, among thorns, is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. So the care of this world, care means a distraction. Whenever we receive the word of God and we get distracted by what we see, then that's how, it's like a weed. I don't know if you guys have pulled weeds. I had some weeds in my garden this year that they like wrapped around certain plants. And you have to pull the weed out and then unwrap the plant. So that's what, when we don't just focus on what we heard and we focus too much on what we see and we get distracted, then the word is choked out. And if I would have just left that weed, then that plant would have never bloomed. It would have never became the beautiful bush or flowers that it was, because it was overcome by what it was overcome by the weed. And that's the same thing. We get overcome by what we see. So unbelieving chokes or destroys the word of the word of God. We're gonna go down into chapter number 14. So after they hear the report of Joshua and Caleb, and then they heard the report of the other 10 spies, it says in Numbers 14, verse number 1, that all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. So what feelings do you think the children of Israel were experiencing after they heard what the spies were saying? Because it says they wept all night. What feelings?
Fear.
Confusion. Disappointment. Insecurity. Despair. Yes, so those are all different feelings, I'm sure, that they felt. And it says, so this is the thing. So you feel a certain way, right? And then it says in verse number 2, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? So murmuring is like complaining underneath your breath. It's just mumbling, and you're just, it's in your heart, and you're just, that's what it's like. It's a meditation. Meditation means it's to dwell on the same thought or the same thoughts over and over and over again, right? And so that's what's going on. And once again, what did we talk about the last 2 weeks? Temptation starts with a question. So those are the questions that they had. Would it have been better if we died in Egypt? Would it have been better maybe if we died in this wilderness? They started with questions. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land? To fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? More questions. And then what do we say the last 2 weeks? If you don't get the right answers to your questions, then you have two options. What happened to Eve and Adam when they didn't get the right answers to their questions? Pop quiz. They got kicked out of the garden. What are the two things that happened, though? What happened to Eve? Eve was deceived. Good. Pop quiz. What happened to Adam? Disobedience. There we go. So those are the two things that happen. You have a question, you don't don't get the answer to your question, you go into deception. You see the children of Israel going into deception, and then they went into disobedience. Do you see the pattern? So then it says number five, then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. So they began to intercede for the people. Verse number six, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it, it is exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Do you hear what that sounds like? That's how a victor sounds. That's how a victor sounds. Did you hear all the complaining, the murmuring, the fear, the taunting God, all that that the victims were doing? You see the difference in how they were speaking. So Joshua and Caleb were with the people through everything that they went through. They felt the same things. However, they were actively casting down the wrong thinking. It's an activity. When Pastor Marquise talks about revival is being brought back to a place of activity, that's the sum of the activity. You gotta pull down wrong thoughts. You gotta confront your wrong feelings. You gotta confront the questions that you have. You have to ask God about the questions you have and get a real answer. Don't come up with one. Don't go to TikTok for one. Don't go to your best friend who's been alive as long as you've been alive and doesn't know. Don't, like, these are all things I've done. Like, I'm not even kidding you. I did all these things. I'm not judging you because I literally did all these things. I was into magazines because I was born in the 80s. You guys have TikTok. You guys have Instagram. You guys have Facebook. You guys have blogs. You guys have phones. You guys have videos. You have YouTube. You have all this stuff to distract you and to teach you a doctrine that may not even be true. Right? And you have your friend who's been in life as long as you. They don't know. And it's okay that they don't know because they've only been here a little while, just like you. So go to somebody that's been here longer. Go to the Lord, right? Pray. Seek the Lord. Read. Study the Word. Like, ask wise counsel and don't do this on your own. It's not meant to do alone, right? So when you go to verse number 10, but the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. So instead of repenting when they heard the truth, they were like, I'm going to stone you because you told me the truth. Same thing, right? So, and I'm saying this because it's a pattern. It's not, so when at first, when the girl thought she could get away with what she said, she was denying and hiding and all that, right? And it's like, that's when we do that, when we start hiding and denying instead of taking accountability, that is an open door. Like, it is a huge, huge open door. If you do not admit, if you do not confront, if you do not tell the truth, you're just gonna cause more, the process of sin is gonna just continue in your life. You're not gonna stop it. The truth stops the process. You keep lying, deceiving, blaming, all this stuff, you're gonna continue the process in your life. So then God got sick and tired of it and he came down. And it says in verse number 11, the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me, and how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have shown unto them, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians will hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of the land. For they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, and thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by day time in a pillar, and in the pillar of night, or fire by night. Now, if thou kill all these people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech you, let the power of the Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, and the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children, unto the third and fourth generations. Pardon, I beseech you, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to this word. So I want to go back to talking about intercession. So because Moses knew God, because he consistently prayed, because he had a relationship with God, he was known by God and God knew him, then he was able to speak on behalf of the people. And he made it about God and God's name, not about what they were doing. He came to God in sincerity. He came to God in boldness. He came to God in confidence because he knew God. And so that's why when do daybreak prayer, and you might say, however, when you actually create a relationship with God, so the scripture says that Jesus is consistently interceding for us. When you are interceding, you are doing exactly what our Father does. He intercedes for us all the time. You are in the company of our Father when you intercede. When you step into someone else's behalf and you cry out to the Lord for them, that is a great privilege, an opportunity to be in the presence of God and to love and care about people the way he does. So in verse number 21, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. This is what the Lord's saying. Because of all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. So what he said in verse number 24, we're going to go down to 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. We're going to keep going down to verse number 30. Doubtless ye shall, he's saying all the other people that were 20 and older, were going to be killed in the wilderness, and they were going to have, they were going to be there for 40 years. And he said another promise to Joshua in verse number 30. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little, so God comes down, he corrects the people, he says what their correction is going to be. He gives a promise to Joshua and Caleb, and that began their 40-year journey. So last week, we talked about how love and discipline brings about a transformation. So we're just going to go over these two mentalities, and we're going to wrap up. So the victim mentality started the children of Israel's 40-year journey. So for those that are taking notes, the children of Israel, they made a pattern. They made a cycle. They made a lifestyle of disobedience, of fear. And so these are the things that they would do. They would be afraid. They would have questions. And they would begin to complain. They also consistently, you could read throughout it, they consistently blamed. They consistently rebelled or judged their leadership consistently. I keep saying consistently because it wasn't just one time. They made it a lifestyle. Like, our lifestyle is the disciplines that we continue to do each and every day. That becomes our lifestyle. That's how we live. That's what other people can see the fruit of, is what you do consistently each and every day. You don't have to talk a lot. People can clearly see what you consistently do or don't do each and every day. Okay? So they made it a lifestyle. It wasn't like they made a mistake and God came down on them right away. Because that's not, God is so merciful. The scripture says that his mercy is new every single morning. Every single morning, his mercy is new for us. So his first response isn't, I'm going to get you. That's not his first response. His first response is to teach you, to train you, to warn you. It's way before you're getting judged. Way, way, way before that. It's over and over and over again. Because the scripture says, God will not be mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that will he also reap. Right? So we cannot consistently disobey God and then expect our lives to not look like we disobey God.
Right.
That, because God would be a liar, and he's not. So, you know, that's on us and our hearts. And so they didn't believe consistently. They were disobedient consistently. They wanted to be comfortable. So if you go to Numbers 11:5, it says, we remember the fish that we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumber and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. So they wanted, instead of when they had a need in the wilderness, you never saw them go to God and ask him to fulfill their needs. Instead, they complained, they attacked their leadership, they blamed, they disobeyed, they murmured, they did all these other things besides going to God, besides going to the source, right? And when they were warned by leadership, when they were warned by the Lord, when they were warned by the Ten Commandments, they weren't coachable. I know coachable is like a popular saying right now. It's true though, in business or in like sports. However, it's true for kids, they weren't coachable. They didn't listen to feedback. They didn't listen to instruction, right? So that kept them being a victim. Now going to the victor's mentality with Joshua and Caleb. First of all, they honored and served leadership, right? That's what they did. They interceded. They believed. They had faith in God. They were obedient. They didn't glorify the past. They were looking forward to the promise. They were willing to be uncomfortable. They encouraged their brothers and sisters. So like I said before, revival is being brought back to a place of activity. So previously, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Instead, now we need to actively fight, right? We need to fight not having those mentalities of being a victim, and instead being a victor. We need to reveal instead of hiding. We need to actually be protected by God instead of going into self-preservation. Those are two different things. Being protected by God is real. Self-preservation is not real. It really isn't. It's walking in the spirit as opposed to walking in the flesh. So when you make a mistake, admit it. Apologize, repent, humble yourself. That is walking in the spirit. That's dying to your flesh. When we hide and we don't acknowledge and we suppress, then that keeps us being a victim. Bless you. So, in the second point, ask God for God's perspective about your needs, wants, desires, your pain, your hurt, and your trouble. You got to go to God with those things. It's two different mentalities. You can either think like a victim, something's happening to me, or something is happening for me.
Yeah.
You can think you made a mistake, or you can think I am a mistake. It's two different mentalities. This is we have to do this because this is fighting the good fight of faith. So I was talking to my brother Jonathan, I was talking to Brooke, and when I was talking, it was funny because I was like, I was talking to Brooke and I was like, oh, that's God. I need to take some notes. I'm talking to Jonathan. Oh, Jonathan, or God's talking through Jonathan right now. Let me take some notes. I'm like, that's cool. So, talking. Oh, that's God. So, what we were talking about is you must go back to the place that started your unbelief and walk with God through it. You may have felt like you were alone. And you have to, and the truth is that God was with you, and you have to see that he was with you. A lot of times we can be afraid to go back because we think we'll be stuck in the pain or the hurt. And the truth is not going back keeps us stuck in the pain and the hurt. Instead, we have to have courage to go through the process, to be uncomfortable for a time. It's not forever, it's for a time, to face it head on. And to actually push past the pain. Like Sister Brooke has like a blog that talks about pushing past the pain. It's facing it, it's acknowledging it, it's admitting it, it's not suppressing it, it's not ignoring it, it's not blaming it, it's not murmuring it, it's not disobeying it, it's not doing any of those things. It's facing it. And so it's kind of like God gave me this analogy, like a video game. When you're playing a video game, you don't pass that level, what do? You do it again. And life is kind of like that. Like, you don't pass that thing and you do it again. And it's the same thing. Eventually, Joshua and Caleb and the whole new generation, which I called the new squad at the beginning of this, who became the victors, they, after 40 years, the cycle, right? Because being a victim puts you into in a cycle. You are volunteering to be in a cycle. You're volunteering to be destroyed. You are volunteering. When you have that mentality, you're just in a cycle until you do something different, until you obey, until you trust, until you go back to the place that hurt you and you face it with God. Like, you're just going to be in a cycle. And so when that 40-year cycle ended, Joshua and Caleb came out with the whole new generation. And the only battle they had to repeat was the one where they were given the instruction not to take of anything. And Achan took of something that was God's. He took something that was God's. And so the children of Israel were judged. So they had to go back and fight one of the 31 nations twice because they didn't do it. They didn't obey God fully. So that's the same thing with us. You like ignoring it, suppressing it, not facing it, you're still going to go through the same exact cycle over and over and over again until you pass it, because passing it makes you strong enough for the next battle. If you don't pass it, you just go through it again. So when you go back to the place, you feel uncomfortable. That's where your healing is. That's where God is. So you can get it. And I remember Brooke talking about you're gonna get what you're missing. You know, you're going to, even in games, I was just thinking about this too. Thank you, God. You go to games, you pass this level, and you get something from that level, right? Like you get, some tool for the next level, right? It's the same thing with God. When you pass these different things, you are becoming stronger. You're going to have more power, more ability, more strength, more, what do you call that? More evidence of the power of God and more trust in God, right? And so, um, Okay, so yes, after you go through the battle, you get the spoil, and you're able to receive everything that God has for you. If you don't do it, it's not going to make your life easier. You're in a battle, like I talked about last week. Whether you like to fight or not, you're in a battle, so you might as well win, right? So, sorry, there's one thing. Okay, can we all stand? To the front for prayer. I'm just going to pray over all of us. Oh, that's what I wanted to say. I know there's something else. I'm like, Jesus, bring it back. Okay. So, the fact that God has declared over Pastor Marquise, Sister Jay, Pure Apostolic Works in this ministry, that it was a Joshua anointing. I want us to understand and fully and begin to see God and grasp what in the world that actually means. Joshua and Caleb were two of the adults at that time that made it in, two out of millions. And so God has, He has graced us, He has anointed us to be overcomers, to be like Him, because He's an overcomer. When Jesus came and died for us, He overcame death, hell, and the grave. He felt every temptation that we felt, and He didn't sin. And because He didn't sin, He can tell us how to overcome our temptations. And He can do it in a way that is so gracious and kind and loving and direct, so that we have that love and compassion so that we actually can transform. And it's not from theory, because He experienced it, right? And so we can go to Him in confidence, knowing that He has the way out. And when he died and He rose again and He sat on the right hand of the Father and He sent His Spirit back to us, He gave us power to become. That's why you want the Holy Ghost, young people. That's why you want the Holy Ghost, kids. It's not to be a part of some club. It's not to say I have the Holy Ghost. It's not to impress your friends or your parents or to get a certificate, which is all wonderful things, and I'm not downplaying. I'm just wanting you to understand that you have the literal power of the Almighty God living on the inside of you to make you an overcomer.
Amen.
He wants you to overcome because you have friends, you have family, you have people in the world that are not overcoming the sin, the hurt, the pain, the past, the family, the iniquity, all these different things in their life. They're not able to overcome it because they have no power. They have no ability. And God has put you in these places. And He's graced you with His power. So, and if you overcome, then you can help someone else overcome. This, God has called you for something great. And He's entrusted it with you. And it's you that's here. Out of the billions of people, I really appreciate that about Pastor Marquise. He appreciates that God reached out and touched him and called him one out of billions. And if we can each have that gratefulness in our heart, that we were called and we were chosen to be an overcomer, to have the power of God living on the inside of us, to not only overcome for ourselves, to overcome that for every single person that comes across our path, for every single person that is under the influence of drugs and alcohol, under the influence of perversion, under the influence of envy and strife and jealousy and hatred, under the influence of all these evil spirits that cause them not to be able to sleep, that cause them not to be able to want to continue to live. We are in a fight, and He has made you an overcomer. And so, God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, and I will only speak exactly what You have me to speak. And if there's anything else You want me to say, that You will bring it to my memory. And I pray that the word will fall on the good ground of our hearts, that it will bring forth fruit unto righteousness. I pray that we will have the right identity. I pray that we will believe the truth, that we obey the truth, that we are willing. I pray, O Lord Jesus, that You will make us overcomers, that we will reject the mentality of being a victim, and instead that we will accept the truth and be a victor in the name of Jesus. I pray that we will humble ourselves and pray, that we will seek Your face, that we will turn from every evil and wicked way in the name of Jesus. I also wanted to tell you guys that Bree made a journal that says, this is how I fight my battles, and it is so well done that I wanted to tell you that if you buy it and complete it, that I'll reimburse you, because it's a very good tool. It encourages you to read the word, to see what you are learning from the word. It encourages you to write down your worries and what you're really thinking about and the questions you have. It's like a literal way in which to do what we've been talking about the last 3 weeks when it comes to spiritual warfare. And so I just want to mention that to you as well. And like I said, if anybody wants to have prayer, or anybody wants to talk or anything like that, more than willing and available. And I know that God is here. It's not about me. It's about God and His Spirit being here. And so He's here for you. And if you have anything you would like to pray for, or you need to pray, you can come to the altar. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus.